We're so glad that you're here with us today, that you've joined us, and if you've been able to be here for the last 3 weeks, we're going to finish up what we started together a few weeks ago, talking about prayer. We're going to conclude this sermon series, P-R-A-Y, one aspect of prayer a week for the last 4 weeks. The first week we came together for this series, we talked about how prayer is personal. Prayer is personal. Week two, we talked the second week about how prayer is righteous. Prayer is righteous. Last week, we talked about how prayer is appropriate, always. I gave you two A's, which was a lot of fun. This week, our secret word for the morning is yielding. Prayer is yielding to God. You know, it's quite interesting when you go out and you get to look at all your choices of words that begin with the letter Y. If you got yourself into an acronym like this, you realize quickly that your options are few, and maybe you should have thought of that in the first place. I mean, you can't just randomly throw Yugoslavia into the sermon series, you know. You could, but I do have to come clean with you on one thing this morning. I come to find out I'm not the first minister to come up with an acronym for pray. And I'm also not the first minister to use the word yielding as a part of it. But I found myself really drawn to a particular illustration this morning, so I'm going to borrow it. I hope you don't mind. I think as we're wrapping up this series together on the importance of being a praying people, we'll see that yielding to God is even more than what prayer is all about. It's actually what our entire lives should be all about. This is another great reason to continue on with where we went last week, to pray without ceasing, as we talked about. Again, I thought this was such an appropriate illustration, I couldn't help but use it. I don't know, did we make it onto the overhead? Yes, there it is. Wonderful. How many of you are familiar with this little device you see on the road you come to? If you have a license to drive a vehicle, there's a chance you've seen them somewhere before. If you drive in rural Michigan, you see them in all kinds of weird places, don't you? Big upside down triangle has the word yield on it. When you're out driving, you see the sign as you're approaching a turn. You know what you're supposed to do, right? Go as fast as possible into the inner. No, that's not what you're supposed to do. Slow down or stop if necessary to avoid interfering with the oncoming traffic to the intersection, because they have the right of way and you don't. The only difference, it seems, between a yield and a stop is that, you know, you aren't required to come to a full stop, but you're simply letting the other guy go. You're yielding to their right of way. This is exactly the function of prayer. This is exactly the function of prayer. Before we dig in deeper, let's read our text together, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So when we pray, we are yielding to God's right of way. But why must we do so? Why should we be yielding to God in prayer during our travels on the road of life? Well, first, we yield to God's right of way in prayer because we don't know what we need, do we? We don't know what we need, but he does. He does, and our text tells us this. Verse 26, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. Bible tells us. What I love about Romans 8:26 is that it reminds me that even if I am half broken down behind the wheel of this automobile, that doesn't take too long for me. That's okay, because the Holy Spirit of God is with me if I'm a believer in Christ. You know, maybe I've been doing some groaning lately. Maybe I've been doing a whole lot of groaning lately, but that's okay. You know, maybe it's even groaning we could say is warranted. Maybe it's been a long trip. Maybe it's been a long drive for us. Have you ever been on a drive that's taken hours and you're not really all that sure where you're going? And just about the time you get to your location and maybe find your parking spot, maybe you've gone up a parking garage, one of my favorites, and you go to park and you go to the back of your vehicle, the front of the vehicle, and you realize that the brakes practically fall right out of your car. Has that ever happened to you? Your car basically falls apart on you when you get there. I remember the day my wife and I took our daughter, Isabella, to an appointment with her pediatric urologist. This was in Indianapolis. This was before we'd come north. We had just had some work done on our vehicle. Apparently something didn't get clamped down just right with the brake work, with the rotor work, because every time I went to use the brake, it sounded like I was dragging a spare anchor under the vehicle. Wasn't a good thing, I've been told. I'll put it to you like this. We weren't too happy with the mechanic who worked on the car. And I tried to keep my language anointed and of the Spirit, but it was difficult. During our travels on the road of life, you know, we're going to deal with the noise around us. We're going to have to take care of certain issues that come up. We're going to have problems. We're not on an easy road to be on. We're going to be saying some prayers. We're going to be doing some groaning about how bumpy the travels are, maybe hoping that God makes it less noisy, fewer problems, a smoother trip. And while we're doing this, there's still this big picture, isn't it? This big picture of getting to where we're going. You know, getting from point A to point B may not be a whole lot of fun. We may do some groaning on this road that the Lord calls us to take from this life to eternity. But let's read a little bit more of Romans chapter 8 together. Let's jump back in the text. Look at verses 18 and 19. Paul writes this. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God." And then in verse 23, "And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved." So we may do a lot of calling out to heaven regarding what comes up in our travels in this life. But you know what we've got awaiting us? Heaven. Heaven. Far better than anything we could have here. That's what we're really crying out for when we cry out to God in our infirmities and our weakness. We're crying out for heaven. That's what we desire. Heaven. We may think it's about the quality of the ride, but God knows it's about preparing us for the destination. It's about preparing us for the destination. We don't know what we need for that in our weakness, but He does. It may not fully cushion the pain we endure from the bumpy travels, the turbulent ride, but perhaps it can be a comfort to us to know that God knows what we need much better than we do. The finite, we're the finite, calling out to His knowledge, the infinite. We can trust He will be sufficient for our needs. Second point this morning, this is going to bring us to, we must yield to God's right of way in prayer because, get this, we're promised help, intercessory help from the Trinity, Romans 8:27. We may not understand this, but it's what our Bibles tell us. Let's reread this again together in verse 27. Our text concludes, "For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." And you know what is absolutely amazing to me about this scripture is that it reveals the Holy Spirit, The third person in the triune Godhead as a person who is distinctly praying for the people of God alongside God the Father. In a manner perhaps we can understand when we look at the way the Son of God, Jesus Christ, prayed for the people of God to God the Father in Scripture. Maybe that can help us understand it a little better. John Piper says this: the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, thinks about you, has emotions for you, works for you in prayer. He continues by asking, what is it we don't know what to pray for in our weakness? In our weakness, consisting of sickness, futility, frustration, decay, misery of life on our way to heaven, what is it we don't know what to pray for? Well, for example, we're seriously ill. Do we pray for healing? Do we pray for strength to endure? Well, it's not wrong to pray for either, but we long to pray with great faith. We groan that we are not sure what God's way will be with this sickness, with this loss, with this imprisonment. We don't know. But you know, this help that the Bible promises us, this intercessory help from the Scripture, the Holy Spirit takes our groans, the Holy Spirit makes them His own. We may not understand that, but knowing that He does this should provide us with enough fuel for our journey, no matter where we're traveling, no matter how we're traveling. Amen? Even within the Trinity, there is intercession for us. There is help for us. How about that? How about that? You know, you're sitting there on the floor, maybe it's the floor of your prayer closet, and I know many of you have started operating those in your houses, at least if you went and saw the War Room movie with us. You're sitting there on the floor of your prayer closet, maybe you're sitting in the driver's seat of your vehicle on that long commute to work. I wish I could, you know, say I felt your pain on that one, but no one feels sorry for me in my long commute to work. But you know, your prayer closet, your vehicle, in your pew this morning, our prayer meeting, 8:45 next Sunday, we'll have that again. You're having communion with the Almighty Maker of the universe. The Almighty Maker of the universe. And while you're praying in a manner that is personal, that is righteous, that is appropriate always, as we've talked about, there is also a prayer happening by the Holy Spirit who is communicating to your benefit. The Holy Spirit is literally helping you pray while you pray. Isn't that awesome? This is yielding to God's right of way. As we lift Him up, we yield to Him in our prayer. He is lifting us up. He is helping us to do just that. One last comment here. I love how John Piper says this as well. Piper says, "Be encouraged that God's work for you is not limited to what you can understand and express with words. God is able to do exceedingly above all that you ask or think. The Spirit is for you and not against you," Romans 8:31. We may not understand this, what the Scripture is saying here fully, but we can be thankful for one more scriptural reminder about how much He loves us. How much God loves us, even in our prayers. Even in our prayers, He lowers Himself to us in a way. We're undeserving of it, but we're yielding to Him. And in doing so, He brings us a little closer to Himself. Amazing. And finally, this morning, as we think on yielding to God's right of way in prayer, why do we do this? Well, we do this because only He can lead us all the way home. Only He can get us there. Only He can take us there. Romans 8:27. And here's that way of putting it. Here's another way of putting it, coming back to that illustration. That yield sign at the intersection, where we let Him go first, we let Him have His right of way. Here's how it typically plays out for me in the car with the yield sign. I'll pull up to the yield sign, and I'll watch for oncoming traffic. If it's in the middle of the night, full disclosure, I have very poor night vision on the road. Just ask my wife. I mean, I have poor night vision here. That's why we put up 47 security lights at night. Because I'll kill myself coming in from the back of the sanctuary to the front. I won't make it. Poor night vision on the road. I am more than happy to let someone else go by when I get to the yield sign so that I can get right behind them and follow them. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, whatever deer, whatever raccoon, whatever Bigfoot that's going to get hit, that guy, not this guy. Of course, in Michigan, the way the auto insurance is here, that's the only brotherly and Christian attitude to have, right? But letting God have the right of way also implies that his intercession is not meant for just one moment when we come to a crossroads in our lives, but it's meant to carry us all the way from this life to the next. So if you want to take the road travel illustration even further, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, 14, you might make a note of that on your insert if you're following along with your insert in your bulletin. Jesus tells us this in Matthew 7. He says, "The gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many." But he says this, he goes on to say, "For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." The way home is a difficult path. It's a hard road. It's a hard road. It's not an easy road for a single one of us that are traveling it. A single one of us in this room, if anybody tells you otherwise, they're lying. It's tempting to not keep going because it's a treacherous road. Some of us aren't hanging together too well from the miles we've already traveled. But that's why we let God go first. We let him have the right of way. We let him go first, and we continue to let him go first. That's why we give up our own direction for the direction Christ took to the cross. That's why we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be our comforter or our helper to be with us forever. John 14, 16, as we're promised. We yield to him. We let him go first, and then we get right behind him, and he leads us. He's better than any GPS system. We don't have to worry about him not keeping up with road construction. He's outside our time, our location box. He's infinite, and that's better than being in real time, you know, than any tracker on one of these. Better than that. Infinite perspective. He's got it. When we pray, we come to prayer with the understanding that we're not interested in what we want. It's not about what we want. It's not about us. We're interested in the will of God because only the will of God is guaranteed to be perfect for our lives from here to eternity. From this point on the road, on out. What happens when we don't yield to God in prayer? I can come back to how lousy I am in the car with this one. He who can always laugh at himself will never run out of material. That might have been Dick Van Dyke. I'm not sure who said that. But don't tell my wife this. Oh, is she here? But I'm usually stubborn behind the wheel while she's usually right. There is a difference, apparently. Before there was such a thing as GPS, there was my wife, who usually had the way to get somewhere figured out long before I decided to try getting lost countless times to get there. Now, since GPS has happened and taken over, I've got smartphone plus my wife telling me I'm missing exits. So the wisest thing I can think to do, I get out of the driver's seat. I get out of the driver's seat altogether. Here, honey, you take this one. It's late at night. My vision's awful. You know the way better than I do. Of course, that's me talking to the GPS, not her. I mean, come on. Do you think I'd talk to my wife that way? But but how stubborn can we be sometimes? How stubborn can we be? How many wrong roads to the wrong places can we find ourselves on? How lost must we possibly let ourselves get before we listen to a still small voice and let him guide us all the way home? Not Siri, the Holy Spirit. We've got to come to a yield. We've got to let him have the right of way. And then we've got to follow closely. You know, that's called prayer. That's called prayer. And yet we try so hard to get through this life on our own. Why? Without God's right of way. Why do we waste our time trying? Charles Spurgeon once preached, "A prayerless soul is a Christless soul. Prayer is the indispensable mark of the true child of God." The condition of the church may be very accurately gauged by its prayer meetings. Another commentator offers, "A Christian is powerless when prayerless." Remember that. A Christian is powerless when prayerless. So, as we wrap up our time together, as we wrap this series together on prayer, I'd like to challenge you. If you're not a person of regular fervent prayer, would you be? Would you make that decision to get out of the way, to yield? Because Acts 2:42, it distinguished the early Christians. It was a mark. It was one of the first ways they were marked, was they were people of prayer. That hasn't changed. Acts 2:42. Are we giving God the right of way all the day? Let's go to him now. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you're not an enigma. You're not a puzzle. You're not just a force or an impersonal God, but you've come to us personally. You relate to us personally. And you've promised us to help us personally. We thank you, Lord, that goes to a depth that we can't understand. But though we may not understand that, we know you do. We do thank you, Lord, that you're beyond our understanding, because that means you're infinite. And you go beyond our way of figuring things out and getting lost on the road home. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would be the guide for every person in this room, that we would all get out of the way and let you go, let you have your way, your will in our lives, and that we may get behind that way, get behind that will, because it's going to guide us. And what's more than that, Lord, we know that your will and your way also can include all these other people that need to get behind you too. Give us courage, Lord, to be people of prayer. Give us courage, Lord, to be people who listen for you, who listen for your will. A yielding people. And Lord, we thank you most of all for the sacrifice that you've made through your Son. For your love, your mercy, and your grace, your intercession. And it is in his name I pray these things, amen. And this morning we'd like to extend a time of invitation to you if you haven't made that decision for your lives to yield, to get out of the way. If there's something that you would like to come forward and announce this morning, if you'd like to join us as members at Ferris, if you have a public decision you'd like to make, would you come forward as we stand and sing hymn 327, Jesus is Calling.